My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
As the exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny, the law firm Condori & Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Nats baseball tonight at 6:45, right here on the Fan. I'll get you a full preview of the Nats and the Giants, a series that kicks off this evening, coming up in about an hour and 20 minutes. All of our baseball coverage today on 106.7 is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's go to the hotline right now. Welcome onto the show, Joel Corey, who's the contracts expert. We love having on to talk all things NFL money and discuss all things contracts with CBS Sports, among other outlets. You can check them out on social at Corey Joel. Joel, it's great to have you back on in D.C., buddy. How you been?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I want to start with Dak Prescott. What type of contract is Dak ultimately going to get?
Whether it's this year with the Cowboys or next year as a free agent, the first number will start with the 6. If Dallas wants to prevent Dak Prescott from testing the open market, since they can't restrict him for franchise tag, they need to come with something $60 million per year or more, or Todd France should tell them, thank you, but no thank you.
So explain why they can't tag him, okay, and then what is the outlook for him staying in Dallas as opposed to leaving? It's always kind of felt like they would work this out, but he's at least doing some verbal rattling of the Cowboys front office cages here lately, where he says, I'm cool leaving if I need to.
Well, the contract he signed in 2021 gave him two things. One, a clause where he has a no-trade clause. And also another clause where they can't put a franchise or transition tag on him if he plays out his contract. Now, to make matters worse, there have been 4 separate contract restructures just for cap purposes. They've stuck voiding dummy years into these contracts, so he's got voiding dummy years running through 2028. And if they void on the last day of the 2024 league year, which will be March 12th, Dallas is going to have a $40.46 million cap hit for Dak Prescott whether he resigns after that point or plays elsewhere. He has the hammer, the leverage, and seemingly intends to use it. Now, I love Dak negotiating through the media or sending Jerry Jones a message, because there are two things he said recently I love. I'll give you the quotes. I said it before. I have an obligation to the NFL, to other quarterbacks, and to my teammates when it comes to what I get paid and what I accept. That's where sometimes I leave it to my agents. Then he followed that up in another interview and said some other things. And his last sentence was, it's always about pushing the envelope for the next man. He is not going to be Tom Brady Jr. with the hometown discount.
Right, which is why that number is going to start with a 6. So what's your prediction? Do you think he ends up in Dallas getting paid or somewhere else?
Well, Jerry's been dragging his feet with every contract that should have been done by now. Part of it's going to depend on how much Dak really wants to be the Cowboys quarterback. And two, if it does get to the point where free agency is on the horizon, he looks at some of these other teams and goes, I really don't want to be there. So let's play them off against each other and get the best deal from Dallas. Now, if I'm Todd France, it should be a dictation, not a negotiation, because of the inequity and leverage. I would be telling Jerry, here's the number, here are the number of years, here are the guarantees. You can either do it or you can't. And if you think next year it's going to be the same, cap's going up, some percentage, that gets factored in the equation. If you don't want to do it, somebody else will next year.
Joel Corey, former sports agent, NFL contracts and salary cap expert on Grant and Danny. So they bungled this terribly then, right? I mean, it certainly seems like the Cowboys botched this every which way. Is that fair or overstated?
Oh, that's fair. They botched it really going back to when he was on his rookie contract, and they should have gotten this thing done in 2019. He should have been the priority before Russell Wilson became the first $35 million per year quarterback, and then you have him play out the franchise tag, have him get franchise, play it out, and then you handed him a ton of leverage. This should have been the first thing they got done this offseason, so they have repeatedly dropped the ball with Dak Prescott.
All right, so this is one of the powers in the NFC East. And here in D.C., what happens in Dallas, Philly, and New York matters. Let's say they do keep Dak. Is there a path to them also keeping CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons?
Yeah, right now they only have $182 million in cap commitments for next year. So we know the cap right now is $255.4 million. So I'm going to say conservatively it's $270. That's about a 6.5% increase. So, yeah, they have plenty of cap room. Plus, Dallas is one of these kick-the-can-down-the-roads teams, not like to the extent of the Saints, but they push cap obligations from today until tomorrow. So it really becomes how much cash that Jerry wants to spend. There's nobody else on the roster that's a $20 million per year player besides Dak right now at $40 million per year. So you can have a receiver in the low to mid-30s, because I assume CeeDee Lamb gets done somewhere between A.J. Brown's $32 million per year and Justin Jefferson's $35 million per year. So you got one there. Whenever you get Micah done, he's the highest-paid non-quarterback, so that's over $35 million per year. They've done a pretty decent job of drafting. We'll see if the guys that they drafted as replacements on the offensive line pan out. But, yeah, it's doable.
Doable's different than likely. I mean, Micah Parsons is a guy who's got a relationship with Dan Quinn. I'm kind of hoping he hits the market. Do you think they ultimately maybe tag one of those guys and pay two and do it that way and kind of kick the can down the road another year? Or would you see them locking all three of them up in the same offseason?
Not in the same offseason. I think Parsons is a next year thing. Now, here's where CeeDee gets interesting, because you can't stick a franchise tag on Dak. That opens it up for CeeDee Lamb. But CeeDee Lamb is holding out because he's seen that if you hold out in Dallas, Jerry will cave. Jerry caved to Ezekiel Elliott after he played 3 years, paid a running back, made him the first $15 million per year running back. That deal didn't age well. Last year, Jerry was like the big bad wolf, I'll huff and puff and blow your house down, when Zach Martin was holding out we're not going to do anything. He's under contract. And what does he do? He reworks his contract. So if I'm the agent, I look at this team and go, if I hold out, I'm getting what I want. So he gets done. The question is, with Dak, do they get something done? If I'm Todd France, I set a deadline, first game of the regular season, or we're done talking about this. And Parsons will get done next year.
Joel Corey on Grant and Danny. All right, last thing on the quarterback here before we pivot out. There's been a lot made. We've had a couple of guests suggest this idea of, like, quarterbacks getting their own cap. We're taking them off of the salary cap. This has been floated. So can you explain how that would work to me and if it's even realistic in any way and what the league, the Players Association, would think about it?
Yeah, I don't think it's realistic because we have a collective bargaining agreement which expires at the end of the 2030 league year in March 2031. Maybe you get a new collective bargaining agreement or some amendment before then relating to the 18th game. I don't think the union has any desire to have a separate quarterback cap. Now, if owners are insistent on it and players are resistant to the 18th game, but based on some of the comments, I don't think that's the case. Anytime a billionaire or billionaires want something, they can get it through a work stoppage. So if it's going to happen, it may come through a work stoppage in 2031. We saw with the NBA in 1999, salary maximums were important to owners. You had a work stoppage, season was shortened to 50 games, voila, salary maximum. So I think the best way for this to come to fruition is for it to be ownership-driven, where it's an important point, and they're willing to shut down a game in order to get it.
So how would it work, though, this idea of the quarterback cap? Would it be that every team is allotted X number of dollars to pay three quarterbacks, or is it more just the literal cap at the top of the quarterback market for a guy like Dak that no one could ever make more than 70, so this thing doesn't grow in perpetuity? Like, what are we talking about?
No, it might be your deal. The average salary would be X amount of the cap when you sign, kind of like how the NBA salary maximums work, where depending upon your year of service, your first year starting salary would be different because the way NBA salaries work and the increase is 25%, 30%, and 35% of the max of what your first year of the cap of what your first year salary would be. So I would envision it that the average salary would be X percentage of the salary cap for that particular year when you sign. And then everything else would be negotiable within that constraint.
Gotcha. Now, a former agent, I would imagine, on the player side of things, you wouldn't be a huge fan of that. This sounds very pro-team, pro-owner. But what's your kind of assessment on how that would actually work?
Yeah, you're right. As an agent, former agent, I wouldn't want it. Yeah, I think it would have to be the percentage of the cap. Your average salary has to be a percentage of the cap for starting that particular year, and then everything else is negotiable within would be the way it would work. I don't know what percentage it would be, 17.5%, 20%, whatever be agreed upon. But I wouldn't want it as an agent. And I'll give you an example. I used to work for Shaq's agent, and I was still doing consulting for him when Shaq left the Lakers. And you could have Larry Bird rights, so you could pay a guy whoever you want after 3 years. So our whole goal was, after 3 years with the Lakers, Shaq would be the first $200 million, sign the first $200 million contract in professional team sports in this country. Salary maximums prevented that. So anything which will be another constraint on player salaries, I'm against.
Joel Corey tapping into his agent days, NFL contracts, salary cap expert. You can see his work at CBS Sports. So I was reading a piece about Brock Purdy, who might be the next guy after Dak in the line of quarterbacks getting paid. And Bill Barnwell of ESPN did a really nice piece breaking down his game and his success to this point and said, you know, he might be making $65 million a year. And let's say that's overstated. Maybe it's actually 62 or 63 after Dak gets 60. I mean, that's where we're headed, right? Like Purdy, who we have this discourse about, how good is he? How much of it is Kyle and the weapons making mid-60s? Like, the other side of what I was just asking you is, it just seems like there's no end in sight here to these quarterback deals. Whoever gets paid gets more than the last guy.
Yeah, that's why owners may push hard for that when the time comes, because the catalyst for the NBA was an unproven Kevin Garnett, who became a Hall of Famer, getting a fully guaranteed six-year extension for $126 million. Now, I think Bill Barnwell's maybe putting the cart before the horse, because we got to get to 60 before we can get above that. But if I'm Brock Purdy, I'm rooting very hard for Dak Prescott to help everybody else out. Now, if I'm the Niners, there's one thing that I'm sure will come up in that negotiation, which is not favorable to them. Back in 2018, they briefly made Jimmy Garoppolo the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL after five starts.
Ugh.
Brock Purdy has taken them to a – not taken, but he's been the quarterback for a team which came very close to winning the Super Bowl. And let's say they win the Super Bowl this year, and let's say Brock Purdy's named Super Bowl MVP. What are you going to do then?
It's a great question. It does sound like Patrick Mahomes, by the way, Joel, who's now underpaid pretty substantially, is fine with what he makes. I know it came up last week, and he essentially made it sound like he was going to go the Brady route, maybe, where he wants to be surrounded with talent. There aren't that many guys in this era doing that post-Brady, it doesn't seem like.
No, he's an anomaly. They did adjust his contract last year where they shifted a bunch of cash forward. So from 23 to 26, he's making $210 million instead of it being severely backloaded. So I would imagine once we get to 2027, and they'll start readjusting the cash again. There's another one I would keep my eye on. Josh Allen didn't exactly do a Patrick Mahomes, but he signed a six-year extension at $43 million per year. So he is underpaid. They did a unique restructure this March where they converted roster bonuses from 2024 and 2025 into a signing bonus for cap purposes. At some point, he's under contract through 2028. At some point, he's going to go, hey, what about me? I'm at 43. All these, you got like 13, 14 guys over $50 million per year, some over 60. We got to do something about that.
Joel Corey, great information on NFL contracts. All right, last one. So much has been made about the running back market being non-existent and the fact that those guys are underpaid. That's become a big storyline. What else would you say from a sheer financial or just a business of football contract standpoint are the major stories to monitor going into this season, into the next year of the NFL here?
Well, I'm looking for the cornerback market to finally take a huge jump. The issue, you had two cornerbacks who didn't do their jobs. The two that were franchised did not hit the $20 million per year mark, the Jerry Sneed and Jalen Johnson. Patrick Surtain II, who is eligible for a contract extension, should become the highest paid cornerback in the league. Sauce Gardner will be eligible next year. Those two guys will take a leap forward. Right now you have a safety, Antoine Winfield Jr., is the highest paid defensive back. That doesn't happen. That's the first time in history in the salary cap era that's happened. That needs to be corrected in a major way.
Joel, thank you. Love learning from you. We appreciate you hopping aboard.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
CBS is Joel Corey. You see why I enjoy having him on. Very, very sharp when it comes to contracts. If he ends up being as good as we all think, Jaden Daniels will ultimately be getting in line. And who knows? By then, quarterbacks will probably be making $70 million a year a handful of years from right now. Let's discuss Jaden Daniels as we close in on his preseason debut next on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Danny's out. I'm Granny. I'm Granny? No, I'm not. I'm Grant. Danny's out. This is the fan. I'm also Granny.
Hello. Have a seat. I've got some candy for you. I'm Granny.
I want to catch up with Toby Altizer here in just a moment because he's been out at a lot of these practices, and I have a question about the fans out at practice and their excitement for Jaden Daniels. But I'm going to play a clip from earlier in the show. This was Eric Bickle of the Sports Junkies when I asked him why there is not more juice right now from fans about Jaden Daniels, which is different than the hype about Daniels. I went out there for a day, was blown away. Every national reporter that's come through is raving about him. Everyone with the team, from Dan Quinn to Adam Peters to every player that's been at the podium, has sung his praises. Like, the hype is very, very loud and high. I'd say on a 1 to 10 scale, there's been so much positivity and so many nice things said, and all the reporting has been so in his corner that he's about to have a good year and positive. It's been 9 out of 10 level hype. But I just feel like within the fan base, in my little circles, what I experience, people asking you about a player or stopping you to ask questions, people calling into the show and getting fired up about the preseason starting, it just doesn't seem to be there. And I asked EB about that, and this is what he had to say.
I think people just burned. There's been burned too many times. I mean, I went all in on Robert. I mean, I called him our Jesus. I said he was going to bring people together. He was the most divisive guy we've had in here in 15 years. It just so snowballed and just blew up in our face. I was cautiously optimistic on Wentz and just wrote him. That blew up in my face. I jumped on Hal and thought, I wasn't crazy, but I thought I was cautiously optimistic he could do the job. Halfway through, I felt like I was a big winner in that one. And then we just destroyed him, in my opinion. So we've just been burned so many times, Grant, that I think the fan base, I think it's fair to say let me see, show me before I get totally over my skis here on this one. But I think he's got, I think we really got something, Grant. I think this is going to be a really, really special kid for this town.
Is that what's happening right now? Because I actually tend to agree with Eric. That is the best hypothesis I've come up with, is that the reason for the disconnect, and I think there is one, between what is being said in the media about this player and how fans are currently acting about the player, the team, the new era. And there's a massive disconnect for me between those two. I'm trying to figure out how we got here and why. And you can only blame so much on a name change and people not liking Commanders and the fracturing fan base. They were named the Commanders last year, and everybody was jacked up about Sam Howell. Phones were packed every day with the Howlers telling me how good the fifth-round pick was going to be. And what about that Dallas game? I'm like, well, let's all wait just a little bit and see what happens here. People were fired up for a dude out of North Carolina who was undersized who got picked in the fifth round 1 year ago. There is less excitement and energy visible to me right now about a way, 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 way better prospect. And I don't understand it. But the only thing I can think, and it's what EB just said, and it's the best I can come up with as well, is there is a boy who cried wolf thing going on where you've been fooled too many times. Like, somebody told you, hey, I got you a young quarterback. His name's Robert. And you get excited, and then a year later, that falls apart. Hey, I got you a young quarterback. His name's Dwayne. And then, you know, he's in Pittsburgh. And sadly, tragically now, no longer even with us, which is crazy to think about. Hey, we've got this thing sorted out. His name's Sam. And you've just gotten so tired of coming out from under the bed that this time was going to be different, to only, you know, have your popcorn eaten, that you say, I'm just hiding again. I don't need to play this game anymore. Call me when he has a good game. Call me when he has a good rookie season. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. But the disconnect to me between how great a prospect Daniels is and the fan energy is stunning. And how well-regarded his camp has been and what fans are kind of doing in the lead-up to the preseason, I'm very, very surprised by, and I don't really get it. But maybe it's just that we have reached the point, frustratingly, timing-wise is bad, because new owner, new GM, new head coach, new quarterback, this is the greatest situation, collectively, as a group, we've had here in 30 years. But we might have also hit empty on the give a damn. You know, empty on the, I'm going to get excited one more time. Maybe you use your one more time before they didn't pay Cousins, or you use your one more time before they picked the wrong guy in the first round last time, or before the one more time because you thought Ron Rivera was the answer. And you don't have any more one more times. Maybe that's what it is. Toby Altizer joins me now. I wanted to bring you in, Tobes, because I was out there one day, so I only have a very small sample in camp when fans were there. I've been out there a couple times, but once with fans. And I thought that the fans that were there were super pro Jaden and were like super into it. And that's kind of more what I'm expecting. It's less what we're getting, you know, as a radio station, I would say, with our metrics that I use personally. But what has been your experience being out there every day in terms of fan energy? It's nothing like what Griffin was. I just think that that's dead and gone because the team was named Redskins. There were more fans that cared more, and all that's died off in a way. This is an endangered species now. But what have you noticed about the energy out there?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that I've noticed that would be notable in terms of what you're talking about with what EB said is, I mean, they have a tent out there or a trailer out there that they're selling jerseys out of. If this were RG3 in 2012, that line every single day that fans would be out there would be out the wazoo. Everybody would want a 10 Robert Griffin III jersey, and that's just not the case. Not to say that people aren't buying jerseys. There are, you know, people there all the time buying different gear and whatnot. They have the Daniels jerseys there. People are excited to buy, but it's not like you're seeing the numbers that you think for a number two overall quarterback. I think people are excited. You know, I guess for me personally, when I can talk about it as a fan, Grant, it's almost one of those things where you have the feeling, and I think this is how a lot of fans are. Like, you have the excitement inside, But generally, that goes to like a hyperbolic level, where with Griffin, it's like, oh my gosh, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Oh my gosh, we got the best quarterback in the league. And even last year with Howell, it was a fifth-round quarterback. You went from having a guy to like, oh, he might be the guy.
Right.
And he might lead you somewhere. Whereas like I haven't seen the hyperbole with Jaden, but I think there's still that excitement. It just hasn't been let out.
So I'm fine with the lack of the over-the-top excitement and the Super Bowl or bust. Like, that's all nonsense. What I'm saying, though, is I guess... And it's hard to explain via metrics, but there's an energy and a pizzazz that can be palpable. And here's my example I'll use. Years and years ago, Liz Clark of the Washington Post, great writer, wrote a piece about the dying fan base, essentially, here. And the fact that whether it was TV numbers, attendance, like all these different things say this is bad. This was before Dan sold, obviously. But she talked to like a marketing specialist who was involved in sports marketing. And they said that for an NFL team, there's like three things you can do when your fan base has checked out to bring them back. One of the things was to build a new stadium. They obviously haven't done that yet. They're working on it. Eventually they will. The other thing was to go hire like a legendary head coach. They've pulled that card a couple times and it didn't work out. Shanahan, Rivera, I don't know if you'd call him a legend. Joe Gibbs coming back was obviously... You know, Santa Claus coming to town in 2004. But they do have a new head coach that people like, which is a big deal. But the third thing was draft a superstar quarterback. Like, be at the top of the draft and get a superstar quarterback. And I just can't believe that in an offseason where you add to first year of the new ownership group really running the show, the first time they've ever legitimately actually had a front office structure led by a GM with empowered football people underneath of him. That has never happened in my life since I was nine, and Dan Snyder in 1999 blew out Charlie Casserly after he was the executive of the year. You add to those things that give you a chance, right? And now you've got the Heisman Trophy winning, number two overall pick, most famous college athlete in America last year. I think he won the ESPY for college, NCAA superstar, whatever. Like, this guy, it's not like people don't know who Jaden Daniels is. He was the biggest name in college football, which is the number two sport in America. He won the Heisman. He had 50 touchdowns and four picks. You could have reservations like I do and did and still wonder about, is he going to get hurt? Is he big enough? Can he throw to the middle of the field? Does he take too many sacks? Whatever. He was amazing. No one's ever had that year in a conference that's like the NFL light. And it just seems like people are treating him like he's Geno Smith. I don't know how to describe it. It's yeah. Like they went and got another Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, it's that level to me of excitement when we talk about this team, and I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, it seems like Terry almost gets a bigger pop at camp than even Jaden. Not to say that Terry doesn't deserve it, but it seems like you would think that the rookie quarterback who got drafted number two overall, he'd be the one that all the kids and people are clamoring for an autograph from. And maybe it's just, you know, certain circumstances, whether they're standing closer, you know, to the fans, whatever the case may be. But I feel like, you know, even when your time out there, like, people are in, you know, obviously in favor of Jaden. People are fans of Jaden. But it is not nearly the excitement level, the over-the-top fandom that I think most people would expect when you draft a number two overall quarterback. And hopefully that's something that he plays well early on and that it just kind of all reignites. But it is one of those things that it is a little bit odd. And even being out there, it does feel a little bit less than maybe what you'd expect.
Do you buy the EB theory, which is the best I've come up with as well, which is that people are just tired of getting excited and being let down, so now they're going to have to be shown?
I just don't know what other theory there could be. It's not that people aren't
well,
a fan of
Jaden. Here's the other theory. The other theory is that irreparable damage has been done to this organization's fan base.
Well, and I think that's a possibility.
And that there's just not that. Like, I'm looking for something that maybe will never exist again. I'm going, well, in 2012, it looked like this. And I know it can't quite be that. But hell, I mean, why was last year with Sam Howell? Last year at this time, every day the phones are full with people that just want to talk about Sam Howell. Where are they?
Yeah.
What happened? I cannot fathom this.
Well, that's the tough part, because I don't know how it could go from last year to this year becoming the irreparable damage. You know, like
that's what I'm saying. Like the irreparable damage argument, which I subscribe to in some way when I jokingly say it's an endangered species. Like they have to win and win consistently to win people back, and that the name has been changing the name hurt way more than I ever thought, and the name they picked hurt more than I anticipated. Like all of those things are true, but that explains why. If you look at videos of moss from Campbell at FedEx, it's night and day from 12 years ago. Or why that, like the if we're debating Cousins or another quarterback from yesteryear when they had the old logo, the you know Blackie Wetzel logo on the helmet, that's a different era. Last year to this year, they were the Commanders then, they're the Commanders now, and a lot of other better stuff has changed where people should be way more excited. But do you think I'm off base to suggest that it seems like there was just more Sam Howell juice than there is Jaden juice right now?
I don't think so.
Like that to me is insane. Like one of these guys is the best prospect they've had probably ever. Certainly since Griffin. Griffin was a bigger personality. Like I'm workshopping this as we go here, but Griffin's on Jay Leno beatboxing. Jaden, and I love this about him, is very much more seemingly just quiet, serious, more about ball maybe. I don't know if that's part of
it. I think that plays into it. I think the fact that, you know, in the age of social media, you're seeing some other guys, like you see Caleb Williams over social media doing different things. You see different stuff about different athletes. You don't see Jaden. And I think that does play into it slightly. I don't think that that's a bad thing necessarily, but I think that, especially for a younger generation that, you know, for all intents and purposes, anybody younger than me or Ryan's age, like, what reason do they have to be a fan of this football team other than my parents grew up a fan?
I just thought of something else, too, that you kind of brought up here. The team and how they have also done way less Jaden stuff.
Exactly.
I remember when Daniels was at they were like building a playground with a bunch of former players. This is going back like 6 weeks ago after the draft. And Jaden Daniels, rookie minicamp, and all the rookies were out there. Like they didn't have him speak, just as an example. Would have been a no-brainer just have him stand there with the playground behind him and say, hey, I'm building a playground today. And they were like, nah, we're not doing that. Like Jaden's going to be one of the guys. Probably the right thing to do football-wise to hide him as much as possible. But it might also cost you some of the excitement if you put him on every billboard and put his picture everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, if I recall correctly, they had that draft party the day after the first round at National Harbor. Last year, they had Emmanuel Forbes out there. I think Howell was out there signing autographs. This year, Jaden, I don't know if he was there or not. Like, I can't remember. He definitely didn't speak.
By design, they are trying to keep him, like, low-key one of the guys. And that might be the right thing to do football-wise. And I kind of like it from a football perspective. But maybe it's part of the answer where I'm going, well, they're not trying to sell him and make him some special savior. 800-636-1067, you got a thought. G&D on the fan. Grant and Danny on the fan without Danny today. Thanks much for making the show part of your afternoon. Thomas Dimitroff, former general manager at Atlanta Falcons, worked with Dan Quinn. Just stopped through Commanders training camp for his work at Sumer Sports. He's going to be joining us at the top of the hour in about 12 minutes. Right here on Grant and Danny. But the question we've got for you right now at 800-636-1067, Jaden Daniels, by all accounts, is having a whale of a camp. And it still, to me, just seems like there's a disconnect between all the positivity in the media, everybody being blown away. I went out there for a day and was taken aback by how impressive he was. And the fact that if I'm comparing the energy in the fan base about Daniels, forget that it's not on par with Griffin in 2012. That goes without saying. I think people last year were more vocally excited, were more willing to chime in on shows like this one about Sam Howell. And I'm just wondering how we got here and what's going on. Do you think that people have just been burned so many times that they are unwilling to get excited until Daniels proves how good he is first? Nate's in Lorton. What's up, Nate?
Grant, what's up, bro? How you living?
Good, man. Thanks.
So, I got to be honest with you. For me personally, the reason why I'm not as excited or there's no, you know, electricity behind Jaden Daniels is because I just don't know what I'm getting just yet. I'd rather see him play a little bit, see what we can muster out of him. And outside of that, I'm losing. So, we're going to see how it shakes out this year, and then I'll get excited for it next year, to be honest with you.
Appreciate you. So, you subscribe and you're buying what EB selling, what I think is the case, which is you can't get, you can't feel that same juice anymore because too many times you've been burned. Gibbs comes back. They go get Shanahan. They draft Griffin. They bring in DeSean Jackson. They spend $100 million. You know, whatever it is, each time you go, oh, this time, oh, this could be different. Oh, now I can see a path. And over again, you've been let down. And so my point is it's a shame that we've gotten to that point, if that's the case, which I think we probably have, because this is truly, as silly as it sounds, better than it's ever been before, because Dan's gone and there's new owners, because there is an actual front office. There's a new coaching staff that's a really, really well-put-together group of assistants. And, oh, by the way, you got the best quarterback prospect of them all. Let's go to Charlie in Silver Spring on G&D. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. Just a quick, your point about the Howlers and the excitement that he was receiving last year from the fans. That's because the fans at the time were seeing what he was doing on the field. We haven't seen that yet from Daniels, and I think that'll change if he, you know.
But Charlie, I'm talking about camp. I'm talking about August 5th last year, before Sam Howell played in the game.
Well, he had already played in that Dallas game.
But I mean, people don't watch college football. The number two sport in America, the Heisman Trophy winner at LSU, had 50 touchdowns. Was on national TV 9 times. People haven't heard of Jaden Daniels.
That's a solid rebuttal, but I just think we need to see Daniels on the field. We've seen a lot of failure already.
Understood.
I think Snyder did kill this fan base, and we're going to need a necromancer to bring us back.
I think that there's something to that. And that was kind of the other point, Toby, you and I were talking about, is this just irreparably damaged, like where you need a defibrillator, basically, was his last suggestion. Like, Snyder killed this to such an extent that I don't have it in me anymore.
Yeah, I think this needs a reset, right? I think it's one of those things where they need a playoff run, or they need to know for sure that they've got their guy. And I think the question is, what if Jaden goes out and plays well this year? Is it 1 year that fixes it, or is it going to have to be multiple seasons?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to be good for a long time, probably. Greg's in Fairfax on G&D. Greg, where's the juice for the most exciting quarterback prospect they've had probably in decades?
I will be really excited next year when hopefully he's playing behind a decent offensive line. This year, I'm afraid it'll just be like Sam Howell marginally improved.
So the offensive line is essentially the reason you can't get excited? I mean, those are two such different things, though, right? Yes, O-line play is important and is going to allow him to reach his ceiling, but the quarterback's more important, and maybe they unlocked the answer finally at the position. And it's important to note this here on Grant and Danny, No Danny Today on The Fan. It's important to say, I don't know if he's going to be really good. I'm not sitting here promising you guys that he is. Who knows? It's a crapshoot. All you could do, though, is give yourself a chance with a prospect. See James Woods, see Dylan Cruz. You draft at the top of the board. You trade Juan Soto for. Who's got measurables and the physical ability and traits that are unique and special and game-changing. And they've done that. And if you want to say, well, it was different with Robert Griffin, who had just won the Heisman Trophy at Baylor because he was on every TV show and he was on late night. Okay, maybe. But how were there more people excited for the 15th overall pick out of Ohio State in Dwayne Haskins than seems to be for Daniels? Like, that's the part I just can't get my head wrapped around. I need people to acknowledge that there has never been a guy with this kind of potential. That's all. That's all I'm asking for. Sean in Falls Church, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Grant, or Granny, or Meemaw, or whoever is there.
I believe it's Meemaw. We're going with Meemaw.
Okay. I'm glad that we're on the same page. Let me know if you've heard this story before. A sleight of frame Heisman Trophy winner selected 2 overall is now the quarterback of the Washington football team, Commander / whatever it is. I think it's a little bit of the similarity of getting burned with RG3 the first time. That is still kind of in the, you know, the taste is still there for a lot of fans. I don't think he's the same prospect. I don't think he's the same player. But I do think that that's still in the back of people's minds.
Too soon, right? Like, it's too recent that the Robert Griffin situation happened. Appreciate the call. Maybe. But to that I say, I mean, if you can't get up for this, If you can't get excited and fired up for the possibility of finally figuring quarterback out in a way where you could have the next Lamar Jackson, then what will get a fan base excited? Thomas Dimitroff, former NFL GM. Want to ask him what he saw from Daniels when he was at camp this past week. We'll do that next on G&D. Grant and Danny on the Fan without Danny today. Thanks much for making the show part of your afternoon. Thomas Dimitroff, former general manager at Atlanta Falcons, worked with Dan Quinn. Just stopped through Commanders training camp for his work at Sumer Sports. He's going to be joining us at the top of the hour in about 12 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. But the question we've got for you right now at 800-636-1067, Jaden Daniels, by all accounts, is having a whale of a camp. And it still, to me, just seems like there's a disconnect between all the positivity in the media, everybody being blown away. I went out there for a day and was taken aback by how impressive he was. And the fact that if I'm comparing the energy in the fan base about Daniels, forget that it's not on par with Griffin in 2012. That goes without saying. I think people last year were more vocally excited, were more willing to chime in on shows like this one about Sam Howell. And I'm just wondering how we got here and what's going on. Do you think that people have just been burned so many times that they are unwilling to get excited until Daniels proves how good he is first? Nate's in Lorton. What's up, Nate?
Grant, what's up, bro? How you living?
Good, man. Thanks.
So, I got to be honest with you. For me personally, the reason why I'm not as excited or there's no, you know, electricity behind Jaden Daniels is because I just don't know what I'm getting just yet. I'd rather see him play a little bit, see what we can muster out of him. And outside of that, I'm losing. So we're going to see how it shakes out this year, and then I'll get excited for it next year, to be honest with you.
Appreciate you. So you subscribe, and you're buying what EB's selling, what I think is the case, which is you can't feel that same juice anymore because too many times you've been burned. Gibbs comes back. They go get Shanahan. They draft Griffin. They bring in DeSean Jackson. They spend $100 million. You know, whatever it is, each time you go, oh, this time. Oh, this could be different. Oh, now I can see a path. And over again, you've been let down. And so my point is it's a shame that we've gotten to that point, if that's the case, which I think we probably have. Because this is truly, as silly as it sounds, better than it's ever been before. Because Dan's gone and there's new owners. Because there is an actual front office. There's a new coaching staff that's a really, really well put together group of assistants. And oh, by the way, you got the best quarterback prospect of them all. Let's go to Charlie in Silver Spring on G&D. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. Your point about the Howlers and the excitement that he was receiving last year from the fans. That's because the fans at the time were seeing what he was doing on the field. We haven't seen that yet from Daniels, and I think that'll change if he, you know.
But, Charlie, I'm talking about camp. I'm talking about August 5th last year, before Sam Howell played in the game.
Well, he had already played in that Dallas game.
But I mean, people don't watch college football. The number two sport in America, the Heisman Trophy winner at LSU had 50 touchdowns. Was on national TV 9 times. People haven't heard of Jaden Daniels?
That's a solid rebuttal, but I just think we need to see Daniels on the field. We've seen a lot of failure already.
Understood.
I think Snyder did kill this fan base, and we're going to need a necromancer to bring us back.
I think that there's something to that. And that was kind of the other point, Toby, you and I were talking about, is this just irreparably damaged, like where you need a defibrillator, basically, was his last suggestion. Like, Snyder killed this to such an extent that I don't have it in me anymore.
Yeah, I think this needs a reset, right? I think it's one of those things where they need a playoff run, or they need to know for sure that they've got their guy. And I think the question is, what if Jaden goes out and plays well this year? Is it 1 year that fixes it, or is it going to have to be multiple seasons?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to be good for a long time, probably. Greg's in Fairfax on G&D. Greg, where's the juice for the most exciting quarterback prospect they've had probably in decades?
I will be really excited next year when hopefully he's playing behind a decent offensive line. This year, I'm afraid it'll just be like Sam Howell marginally improved.
So the offensive line is essentially the reason you can't get excited? I mean, those are two such different things, though, right? Yes, O-line play is important and is going to allow him to reach his ceiling, but the quarterback's more important, and maybe they unlocked the answer finally at the position. And it's important to note this here on Grant and Danny, No Danny Today on The Fan. It's important to say, I don't know if he's going to be really good. I'm not sitting here promising you guys that he is. Who knows? It's a crapshoot. All you could do, though, is give yourself a chance with a prospect. See James Woods, see Dylan Cruz. You draft at the top of the board. You trade Juan Soto for. Who's got measurables and the physical ability and traits that are unique and special and game-changing. And they've done that. And if you want to say, well, it was different with Robert Griffin, who had just won the Heisman Trophy at Baylor because he was on every TV show and he was on late night. Okay, maybe. But how were there more people excited for the 15th overall pick out of Ohio State in Dwayne Haskins than seems to be for Daniels? Like, that's the part I just can't get my head wrapped around. I need people to acknowledge that there has never been a guy with this kind of potential. That's all. That's all I'm asking for. Sean in Falls Church, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Grant, or Granny, or Meemaw, or whoever is there.
I believe it's Meemaw. We're going with Meemaw.
Okay. I'm glad that we're on the same page. Let me know if you've heard this story before. A sleight of frame Heisman Trophy winner selected 2 overall is now the quarterback of the Washington football team, Commander / whatever it is. I think it's a little bit of the similarity of getting burned with RG3 the first time that is still kind of in the, you know, the taste is still there for a lot of fans. I don't think he's the same prospect. I don't think he's the same player, but I do think that that's still in the back of people's minds.
Too soon, right? Like, it's too recent that the Robert Griffin situation happened. Appreciate the call. Maybe, but to that I say, I mean, if you can't get up for this, if you can't get excited and fired up for the possibility of finally figuring quarterback out in a way where you could have the next Lamar Jackson, then what will get a fan base excited? Thomas Dimitroff, former NFL GM, want to ask him what he saw from Daniels when he was at camp this past week. We'll do that next on G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.